section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am your host, Andrew Hughes, and I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron Hughes. Let's start the show by discussing some recent news. First off, the WWE is stuck in Ireland. Is Sheamus happy, Aaron?
Well, probably. They're actually no longer stuck there. They recently got on their planes out of there. They actually should be on their way back to the U.S. as we speak. So by the time this gets out, they would have already landed, and everything should have turned out fine for them.
Provided there's not a plane crash.
Provided. I mean, we could only hope. After all, John Cena's on the plane, so
with Sheamus,
with Sheamus
and the Miz,
Yes. So
yeah. It's sad that everyone's been stuck over there all week. I mean, it's nothing that they can do either. It's just that was it a volcano? Two volcanoes or just one volcano erupted?
I think it was just one that went off. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's very cautionary, you know. While most pilots think that they can go through the ash, they just don't want to risk it. Because I mean, you know, let's face it. You know, you're stuck in Ireland for another day or two or three, and yeah, it sucks. But you know, it's better than dying. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So this is something that I didn't know about, but JR was talking with TNA. What was he talking to him about?
Yeah, apparently Dixie Carter flew to talk to JR in person, and she really, really wants him in TNA. And according to some sources, and of course, you know, internet sources, so take it for what you will, they are saying that he is strongly considering it. But what he said is that Vince Russo must step down as the head writer before must step down from the creative team before he will consider it. Now, in our next news story, Vince Russo reportedly is stepping down as the head writer.
Now, didn't they have a beef, though? I thought that wasn't he upset about the whole Oklahoma gimmick? Is that why?
I don't know, because it depends. I mean, you know, Vince McMahon, for example, he is one to easily forgive. He's a very hardcore businessman. He looks everything at a business perspective. So, for example, like the Ultimate Warrior, he brought him back, what, three times, even though he burnt him three other times, you know, and even still, he's talking about, you know, having him in the Hall of Fame again and everything. So, you know, he's a businessman. You know, if TNA goes under, he gladly takes somebody from there that would make him look good, you know, that would help out the company. Mm-hmm. JR, on the other hand, I think he actually is more of a personal, like he remembers Oklahoma, them making fun of him. Uh-huh. And so I think that he, you know, and, you know, maybe he feels a little sore about it, you know. So maybe that's why he wants him to step down. But then again,
or is he really just burnt out?
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean,
that's going to be the dumbest reason I've ever heard. I'm going to step down as a head writer because I'm quote unquote burnt out. Oh, and JR might sign with the company. Well, that's stupid.
Now, just to kind of go and run with this a little bit, do you think if JR signs with the company, it'll help TNA out?
No, it's because it's not
real.
No, the thing is, TNA is still. It's still not there yet, and not many people know about it. They're like, they heard that Hogan went somewhere else, but I just don't see them. I mean, I like what they're doing. They are doing an excellent job, surprisingly, of like the storyline. I see a short-term story, a lot of short-term storylines. I don't see like a long, like couple years drawn out storylines. I just see ones that are 3 months done, 3 months done, 3 months done. You know, that's the only thing that I don't care for right now, but they're in the step of the right direction because they're doing the 3 month, you know, to 6 month, programs, which is good. I mean, Angle just finished his up, and that was great with Anderson. I mean, that was just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
With JR coming in, he's just a name. I mean, it's like what WCW did. That was the problem. They just kept bringing names in and never utilized them. With JR, he's not going to announce. You already have announcers. He's just going to do behind-the-scenes stuff. So what's the point of going there? Because he can do the same job with WWE and be guaranteed money, opposed to, hey, I'm taking a chance with these guys.
Well, I think the thing that he wants to do the behind the scenes stuff, which means that he would help out with talent. He would help, you know, with some storylines. He would help out backstage in that capacity. He may also be an announcer. The only thing that would kind of suck, I actually like Mike Tenay. You know, I think he's a great announcer. And Taz is pretty damn good, too. You know, I would rather see Taz in the ring personally. But, you know, I mean, he's obviously he's been out of the ring for so long that I don't know. You know, it would be hard to do three. And yeah, you know, I mean, sure, WCW did it, but I don't know. I mean, three sometimes is too much. So. Well, moving along, TNA had a pay-per-view.
Lockdown.
Lockdown.
Yep. I actually missed it. I did not watch it live like a bad person because I'm sorry, but I'm a huge hockey fan. The Hawks were playing, and the Hawks kind of took a little bit more precedence over, you know, wrestling this week. But, yeah, so I watched the hockey game instead, and then I missed Impact and... But I got to watch all the shows, and when I watched the pay-per-view, it was one of the few pay-per-views that I actually sat and watched almost the entire thing without fast-forwarding. It was just a great pay-per-view. I mean, one thing I thought was weird, didn't everyone blade?
Yeah, that's kind of one of the interesting things. It's like every match, everybody bled, you know? And I don't know. I mean, juicing is supposed to be one of those things that it's supposed to be like make the match like that much more intense when you do it. Well, if you do it every match, then it's not fun, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the idea, and I mean, you know, it's okay that they do it this one time every year, have every match be a steel cage match. All right, you know, that's fine if you do it just once a year, but, you know, it'd be like if every single match was a ladder match, you know, it would get a little boring.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Same thing with bleeding. But what did you think about the X Division match they had where the title actually changed hands, but the holder wasn't even involved at all?
Well, knowing TNA, I think that he was going to lose the title.
He won.
And I don't know if he's going to... Now, here's the thing, though. I don't think he was going to lose it at the pay-per-view. I think he was going to lose it the next night. I think that was going to be a title change because you had two title... Or we're jumping ahead, but then you would have had two title changes on Impact, and that would have actually been a big deal. I mean, you have your X Division and heavyweight title change hands, which would be unbelievable. But I think that he was going to lose the title one way or the other this week. So... him losing it, not being there for the pay-per-view, I thought they did a good job of filling it. The match was really good that they, you know, for the X Division. It was really, really good.
It was a great match. I mean, the X Division is awesome. You know, I mean, it, plain and simple it is. If you know it's an X Division match, you know it's going to be good. Plain and simple, you know. Which I kind of like that, you know, because originally it was called Cruiserweights, you know, WCW. But here, you just call it X Division. Samoa Joe is in the X Division, you know? I mean, you have people who are bigger in the X Division, which I kind of like. But I think, though, one of the things I would have liked to see is I really wish that they would have explained it more and said something along the lines of, well, you know, he hasn't defended his title in 30 days, so because he's not defending it tonight, he has to give the title up. You know, I wish they would have done something like that, but oh well.
That would have made it sound better. But the Angle Anderson, dude, I'm going to tell you right now, I watched the match, and I thought it was over with, and then I realized it wasn't over with yet, and I thought it was over with, and I kept doing that over and over again. I think it went like 20 minutes, and that was an awesome match.
There were some bumps that I just was really, you know, it's one of those things where you just are like, you wish he's okay, you know?
Like, dude, even Jeff Jarrett was like, are you okay?
Yeah. I mean, off the top of the cage, I mean, that was just, you know, it's one of those things. It's just landing almost on your head. I mean, practically. I mean,
he landed on his head.
Yeah.
It kept showing it, and I was just like, oh, I got to rewind. Oh, I got to rewind it. Oh, damn, he landed on his head. Man, yeah.
Let's talk about the feud ending and the implications involved with that. Okay, so the feud ends and Angle wins it, which means it's going to elevate him even further.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Angle's done. You know, which I mean, it's okay to have him win and end it, even though technically Anderson should have won it. But the thing is, otherwise it would be predictable. You know, I mean, if you asked me last week who was going to win, I would have said Anderson because I would have been like, well, Kurt Angle's going to be gone. So it's okay to do that. What's next for Anderson, though? Does he go after the world title? Does he get put in another feud, you know, like that's a, you know, a high quality feud like Angle or what? What's
yeah,
next?
He'll get put in another feud, another program, and I think that program will probably last. It'll probably last, you know, like probably 3 months or so, and probably another 3 months. I think when Angle comes back, it's going to be him, you know, probably another 6 months just kicking the crap out of each other. It's going to be great, dude. It's going to be great. I can't wait for it. Moving on, Aaron, did you think that AJ was going to lose the title?
You know, something about the Pope, I really didn't think that he has that caliber, and especially when, I mean, in a way, TNA is at war with WWE, you know, and to have the Pope be the champion, I don't think he's ready for it. So I didn't really, you didn't have that thought that he was going to lose it. You know, you didn't think, oh, you know, gasp, you know, he's going to lose it at all. You know, I didn't think so. You know, what about you?
Yeah, I thought it was, you could just tell it was going to happen. I knew the Pope wasn't going to win. I actually thought the match was pretty decent. I just didn't think he was going to win. You could just tell the entire time. You knew it was going to be AJ retaining. One thing I was actually surprised at was Bischoff.
Yeah. When he stayed face, you know, like he comes out to the ring with brass knuckles and he acts like he's going to throw it to Flair and then he throws it to Hogan. And, you know, so he stayed face and he had a fake heel turn and whatnot. Right. I mean, you know, I kind of liked it in a way because everyone thought that it was going to be Bischoff turning on Hogan and joining Team Flair. You know, that's what everybody thought. And the fact that he didn't do that, I kind of like that because it does keep it a little bit fresh. And even if he did turn, it would be one of those like, oh, well, what's going to happen? So either way, you know, it was kind of interesting to see. So,
yeah, overall, dude, it was a really good pay-per-view. I'm going to have to give this one A-.
Yeah, I agree with you. A-. You know, it was a really, really good show. Mm-hmm. So,
and moving on to Raw. I mean, wait, it's not Raw. Was it SmackDown Invades Raw is what they decided to call it?
Yeah, SmackDown and Invading Raw. Yeah.
And it was kind of sad because, of course, you know, it was the only the only Raw wrestler was Triple H. And I didn't really want to see him, but he had to come out there and talk. And I was just like, ugh. But one thing I don't get this whole thing, and it's getting really annoying. Why the heck is Matt Hardy jobbing to Drew McIntyre? That's ridiculous.
Dude, I have no idea. I really have no idea. It's stupid. I mean, Drew McIntyre has done nothing as the Intercontinental Champion, and unless they're going to do a program where Matt Hardy gets his revenge and takes the IC Championship, to be honest, I think it's kind of stupid because he's dropped to him now twice, you know, in a week.
And look at all the house shows, too. How many house shows has Hardy had to job to him? And after a while, fans just stopped caring. They're like, well, we still like Matt Hardy. We don't care about this Drew McIntyre just because he's being thrown down their throat so much. But
yeah. Now, the other thing, too, is they had Mick Gruber, who was the guest host. But they had him basically talking smack to Kozlov. And the thing that I was thinking was, you know, I understand when you have your hosts interact with, you know, the wrestlers, you have to do it. But when you have somebody who is, you know, let's say like 5'8", weighs 130, sopping wet, going up against a guy who's like 6'3", and probably like 260, all muscle, you know, I mean, come on, you're making him look weak. You really are, you know, by having McGruber talk down to him. You know, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I actually thought it was comical. I mean, I was laughing. Because McGruber's, first of all, I think is hilarious. And it was just funny because he was making fun of him. And I got to give credit to Kozlov because I would have probably busted up laughing if I was in the ring. And it's just that it was supposed to, to me, it's supposed to be more comedic. And I thought it was.
Maybe I just took it differently, I guess. Like, I think you can do that with certain wrestlers. I think that even though, you know, in a moment I'm going to contradict myself, but I think if you had him do it to Jericho, I would have understood it more because Jericho, while he's more of a talker, you know, and he talks smack to everybody else. So if you talk smack to him, you know, I can understand it a little bit. But Kozlov is supposed to be, you know, your big guy. He's supposed to be the destroyer of everybody. He's supposed to be the monster, and you're making him look like a little sissy, you know. So
I do see that part, but I don't know. I thought it was more for a comedic value, and like I said, dude, I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah. So, but speaking of jobbing, As we talked about earlier, Swagger, who is the World Heavyweight Champion, loses a non-title match to The Undertaker.
Yeah, that, I mean, how many more times is Swagger going to lose? I mean, all they're doing is making him lose everywhere, and then now they're going to have him probably on the pay-per-view win, because I don't know if you noticed, but I'm a belt. I love the belts. He now has the proper nameplate on his belt, so you know that he's champion now, and he was going to be for a while. So him jobbing a Taker was stupid. I thought that was actually not that bad of a match with Swagger. Swagger actually made Taker look good, which is actually very hard to do. But it was still stupid. Yeah. I mean, what do you think? What do you think of the match, dude?
It was, to be honest, I just didn't care for it. You know, it was one of those. It was a decent match, and Taker, the thing is, he can put on some decent matches. I just don't think that Swagger needs to job to everybody. I mean, it's you have to understand that you need to let your heels win sometimes, and you have to let them win sometimes in a normal manner. You have to, because if you don't let them win in a normal manner, they're just going to be they're going to be wusses, you know, plain and simple. Right. So let Swagger, you know, even if The Undertaker is more over than Swagger, let Swagger win by cheating. Let him, you know, get just some, like, grab the rope, you know, or grab the trunks or brass knuckles or whatever. Let him win that way. But anyway, what grade would you give Raw, though?
D plus.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the show itself, probably a D, considering, you know, the fact that no one else was there. You know, I'll say C.
Moving on to SmackDown. Moving on to SmackDown. Again, Morrison over Swagger. Again.
Yep.
I think we're going to be beating the dead horse here.
Yep.
Moving on. Hardy jobs again to Drew McIntyre. Did they just go ahead and take the script from Raw and be like, here you go. Oh, so we're going to cut Triple H out. And we're going to have a crappy women's match. It's probably going to be edited out now. And have a great segment with Edge and Jericho, which was probably the best thing on it. I mean, that was the only good part about SmackDown.
Yeah, so SmackDown grade.
D.
Yeah, D minus. It was bad.
And you know what else was bad? You want to talk about bad? NXT. They decided to have the American Gladiator start, like, I can't remember what it's called, but, like, it's ridiculous.
Sock'em Rookie.
It's stupid, all right? It's just stupid. There was no reason for that to be on there. No reason whatsoever. They should have just not had that segment, period. I mean, it's basically what, American Idol or what's the other one? Survivor? I mean, that's what this is turning out to. They do something stupid and they wrestle. They do something stupid and they wrestle. Like, it's getting really annoying.
Yeah, and the thing is, the wrestling isn't bad, you know? I mean, they had matches on there that were decent matches. They had a three-way match, which was pretty good. You know, they had, you know, some other matches that were decent. So why not focus on that? But the thing that really pissed me off, and this is, like I said, I'm going to be contradicting myself, the fact that Chris Jericho jobs to Heath Slater, who is
a rookie. Yes,
Jericho.
Dude.
And look, you know, people may think that, like, I have this big, like, you know, infatuation with Jericho. It's not that. I think he's a great wrestler. I think that WWE is using him so improperly that, to be honest, I think he should leave. I think that he should call it quits because they're having him job to everybody. And I don't know if he's thinking, hey, you know what? This is going to help my character out. Let me lose to somebody who, like, let's say my over on a scale of 1 to 10 or 1 to 100 is at, like, 90. And this guy's overness is at 10. Let me job to him. Let me lose.
Yeah. Like I said, dude, that's ridiculous. It shouldn't be that way. It should not be that way. And because of what that, you know, the show, I didn't mind it until the jobbing. Because of the job, I got to give, you know, straight D's this week.
I'm going to say C minus. The wrestling was decent, you know. The jobbing wasn't, and neither was the American Gladiators crap. So.
No.
But you know what isn't crap?
Well, GoDaddy. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. All right, TNA, what a good show. I'm impressed with this. I mean, they had they started off basically what I thought the show actually really started off with, RVD versus Hardy, when they announced that.
Yeah,
that was
and
great.
I mean, the match itself was pretty good. I mean, there were a couple of, like, weird spots in there, which, you know, you have to expect that, especially since, I mean, they don't wrestle each other every week. So, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, you're going to expect something like that. But it was a good match, and I really liked, especially the ending when you see Hardy go for the Swanton and, like, have RVD, like, just get out of the way at the last second, jump up real quick and five-star him. I mean, it was good. It looked really
good. It did. That was a great match. Great match.
The only thing that was kind of weird, though, was after the match, they had an analysis, and, like, it was just kind of awkward. Like,
right.
Hardy's like, oh, I bet that one hurt you, Jeff, but we're still friends, you know? And Hardy's like, yes, it did hurt, but we're still friends. Yeah. It was just weird, you know?
Yeah, that was really weird. Samoa Joe returned, and
it was kind of a big thing. I was kind of surprised to see him. You know, he was abducted, I guess, you know, weeks ago now, and so he'd been gone, which, I mean, you know, it's something that you do in wrestling to get that, like, cheap, you know, pop.
Right.
You know, you have somebody gone for a while. Mick Foley, for example, he's been gone. He was fired, kayfabe, you know. He'll be back, though, and he'll get, you know, a cheap pop from it. So, but he returned, and he returned in a, like, monstrous way. Like, he returned to only, like, kill people.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's gonna be really weird.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. So, what about the big news, though?
RVD is a TNA champion. I saw this one coming. I didn't think it would come this fast, though. But, you know, I thought it'd be later. I thought he'd win at Sacrifice, but they put it on free TV, and that was a good move, I think, by them. I mean, it showed them.
I agree with you, and I think this is something that kind of deserves a little bit of time to talk about, which is, you know, one of the things with WWE, I don't remember the last time we've seen a world title change hands on a normal television show. I don't remember the last time.
Edge.
I really don't.
It's when Edge won it because Kennedy got hurt. And he came out and said he's going to put his money in the bank on the line.
Oh, against Undertaker.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, if making TNA seem like anything can happen any week makes you want to tune in, you know? The unfortunate nature of it is, since I do live on the West Coast, and one of the wrestling sites I went to, you know, I take a look to see some of the news, and I try not to read the spoilers because I actually want to see it. And they have in the headline RVD new TNA champion, and I was just like, "You got to be kidding me!"
What sucks about being on the West Coast, dude. Yeah, you dude, know, it did. It, you know, I know it sucked. I mean, it would have for me definitely, but yeah, I was really happy with him winning it. It's great to see a belt around his waist, because honestly. And you know what? Because of that, I'm definitely have to give the show an A because it was just such a good match. It's such a good show, actually.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, this is probably the best show TNA has put on, I mean, in the entire time. So I would give this an A, even an A+, you know, to be honest.
Yeah.
So.
All right. And let's see. Of course, we're talking about what were you watching? We had Triple H, Punk versus Hardy RVD. I'm going to have to go with TNA on this one.
I'm going to go Hardy RVD.
Yeah, and then we had Hardy Drew versus Team Hogan, Team Flair. I'm actually going to go Hardy Drew on this one because I figured, you know, he would have won, but he didn't.
I'm going to go with the Team Hogan stuff. I mean, just because it's one of those things where, you know, I mean, you're talking about a lot of superstars and a lot of, you know, pretty big name superstars at that. So,
okay. And then we finally had for the main event, we had Swagger Taker versus RVD AJ. RVD AJ.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
And of course, TNA wins this week.
So what's that put them at?
4-2. 4-2 so far.
Oh no, they were 4-2. Now they're 5-2.
Oh, they're 5-2. Oh, gee. So they've won it. They've only lost it two times. That says something. I mean, it actually shows they're trying to put out a good product. And like for what the head-to-head is going up against, I'm TNA before I'm WWE, which is kind of weird to say. This week's topic, we want to talk about the NXT wrestlers, basically, where they rank, what are their futures, and, of course, what we think about them. First one is Wade Barrett. What do you think about Wade, Aaron?
I think that Wade has potential. I do think that he won't win it. I don't think that he should win it either. I don't think it would help him out that much. I do think that he could go on and be like Jericho's bodyguard, for example, or he could go on in like that bodyguard role for like a year, turn on the guy, you know, to become a face, and then just kind of go from there. So I think that he has a lot of potential.
Yeah, I agree with you, dude. I would like to see him as Jericho's bodyguard. I think that's where he'll be. I don't see him ever as a world champion or anything like that. I see him basically
being, I don't see him as a champion either. Them.
But next one is Skip Sheffield. I think he's funny. I just think the cowboy gimmick, it just makes me laugh every time. But he actually showed us some good. I mean, in NXT, he actually looked pretty good. I was impressed for a change, and they actually looked like they were trying to push him a little bit harder. What do you think, dude?
You know, to be honest, I don't care for him too much. I think he's just over-muscled. And, I mean, you know, it's kind of funny to have, like, a little bit of a hick, you know, and that cowboy and the stone-cold-looking vest that he wears. But at the end of the day, I think that he's a very low mid-card – or not even a low mid-card. He's a jobber or an opening a person. I just don't see him being much more, you know? I mean, maybe IC champion, but that'd be at the twilight of his career still.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you see him go any higher than that. Next, we have Michael Tarver. I actually like him. I think he's kind of a badass guy where he could kick someone's butt and stuff. And I like him, but I don't know how they're going to use him because so far they haven't used him properly at all. And that's sad. What do you think of him?
Yeah, I agree. I think that he's the type of person where I don't know if they're using him properly, you know? And I think that he's probably not going to go anywhere. I don't even think he would stick around in WWE after NXT's done. So.
Right. Next, we have Justin Gabriel. He is one of my favorite wrestlers in there right now. He does an excellent job. I see him doing something. I truthfully do. I see him doing something big.
I agree. I think that he could definitely do something. I don't think he'll ever be like huge, but I definitely can see him doing something in WWE.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Next, we have Heath Slater. I like him. I see him kind of being a IC US champ. That's where I see him kind of stopping. I mean, I think he's good. He has a good look to him. It's kind of growing on me.
Yeah, he does have an interesting look. He has a unique look, I should say, you know, kind of like Sheamus. Sheamus has a very unique look, you know. The only thing is, though, his mic skills are so poor. And I think that's one of the things, like Hardy, for example, that holds Matt Hardy back. Matt Hardy doesn't have the best mic skills. And so I think that, you know, definitely holds people back. The thing I would say about Heath Slater, I know this sounds weird, but I could see him doing something in TNA. I could see him being a big impact there.
Oh, yes, yes. He would make it in TNA. WWE, I don't think so. I don't think so. Next, we have David Otunga. I don't like him. I really don't like him. I think I look at the ring work, and he's very, very sloppy. Like, he plays a perfect character. He plays the arrogant jerk, but his ring work is very sloppy. Very sloppy.
You know, that's actually one of the things I was thinking about with him is that he does not have the ring work. He needs another year at OVW to really hone his skills. But his mic skills are really good. I mean, he could be like a GM of SmackDown or Raw.
Yes.
You know, he could do that role. You know, he could be a manager. He could do a role where he doesn't really wrestle, you know? So that's my thought on him, because I think he's a really good, like, bad guy. You know, he's a really good heel. So
great mic skills, and that's where it stops.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically he has the mic skills of The Rock, but the ring work of Zach Gowen. Moving on to
wow. Wow.
Moving on to Darren Young. I think Darren Young has a funny look to him. Like, every time I see him, I just think of Christmas, actually. I can't remember what the cartoon is, but it's the one with the fiery guy. Every time I see him, that's the first thing I think about, and I laugh. But
are you talking about Firestorm from DC Comics?
No. It's one of those clay animation, stop animation things for Christmas, one of the Christmas stories. I can't remember what it is. But
that's funny.
Anyways, man, what do you think?
Well, he, to be honest, I think that he's going to be one of the first people to go. Him or I can't think of like Skip could be another one I could see going like right away. Because Darren Young, I mean, you know, I mean, they're doing a little storyline with him and the Straight Edge Society, but they're probably going to disband the Straight Edge Society here pretty soon anyway. You know, they're gonna have CM Punk lose, so he's gonna lose his hair, and he's probably gonna end up, you know, getting into a feud with his. I can't think of the guy's name now. Crap. Anyway, he's going to get into a feud with his bodyguard, you know?
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
I just, yeah, I don't yeah. see Darren. Yeah. And I just don't see Darren Young doing much. So, but yeah. I don't.
Well, unfortunately, I lost Aaron. I'm sorry, B. Well, that's what happens when your battery dies. Anyways, we were going to let me go and finish the show out. We're going to talk about Daniel Bryanson. We will have to talk about him next week. So stay tuned for that. Anyways, I just want to say thanks for Aaron for coming on the show. I know you got cut off, and I apologize about that. We shouldn't have been laughing so hard before the show. We had, if you didn't know, we had a lot of talk and a lot of laughs before we even started the show. Anyways, I want to say, Aaron, thanks for coming on the show. Sorry we lost power. And I also want to say thanks to all of our fans and listeners out there. We've had a big spike in downloads, and I really appreciate you guys getting back to us. Tell you what, why don't you guys send us an email? Just send it to info@section86.com and just say something like, you know, we hate NXT too, or something like that. And the first person who does that, we'll send them something that we have. It could be a pencil. It could be a used crayon. I mean, it could be a thousand things. But anyways, let's go ahead and do that. Also, I want to say thanks to Section 86 for hosting the podcast and A6 Productions for the editing they do on the show. Well, until next time, we are tagging out.